Okay, about to embark upon a brand new sugya. So the truth is, this is probably one of the sugyas we should have done like back in September. This is like a really real, this is actually a bracha sugya, believe it or not. But we'll try to figure out some of the yesodos in this really, really basic sugya of his brachas. And that's the sugya of Ikir V'Tofel. I mean, we've seen this sugya before, but let's see if we can learn it starting from where it actually appears in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah wants to express to us this klal of Ikir V'Tofel. Now, when I have two different foods that I'm eating, I'm very, very careful of what I'm saying. I didn't say eating together. I said I'm eating two kinds of foods. And one of the foods is clearly the mainstay, and one of them is the secondary. So you don't have to recite a bracha on the tofel. You just simply recite a bracha on the ikar, and you're good to go. That's the din of ikar v'tofel. So I could have thought of like 5,000 different ways of presenting the din of ikar v'tofel. The Mishnah chose one. So the Mishnah says, if you look for the maliach p'chilu pas imo, the Mishnah describes somebody who's eating a very salty kind of a food, and he's also eating bread with it. Now, normally when you see bread, so you're like alarm bells go off in your head. Hamotzi, well, we all know that. The bread is like the ikar, you can't get more chashev than bread. And here the Mishnah wants to highlight for you just how significant this rule of ikar v'tofel is, that even trumps the bracha of hamotzi. That you can have a situation where bread is tofel. The bread is tofel to the maliach. If I didn't know anything else about the menu for dinner today, so I would think that the Mishnah is describing I really want to eat the salty food, and I'm eating the bread just kind of to down the, you know, I think I get rid of a little bit of the excess salt, a little bit too salty. So I'm eating the bread, just kind of remove that saltiness in my mouth. That's what the Mishnah seems to be describing. So since my main intention is the salty fish and the bread is secondary, that's the example of ikar v'tofel. And then the Mishnah concludes, Zaklal, this is not just unique to this case. So the Gemara questions, does it really exist? Do you have such a phenomenon? The guy eats salty food and then he downs it down with a piece of bread. But herring, what are you talking about? Is it really true that a guy's eating primary food as a salty food and then he's having the bread just to wash down the saltiness? Nah, can't be. The Gemara says that what's really happening, and we should add on to explain in between the lines, what's really happening is as follows. That the person's real kavana is to eat this fruit. There's this very, very sweet fruit. Where does the sweet fruit come from? It happens to come from Ginoisa. Where is Ginoisa? Where is that? On the Kinneret. Okay. Kinneret, come on. The Kinneret, come on. And I'm going to the Kaisla Tetzvas. I mean, come on, run the Kinneret. So the guy's going on a Tiul. He's, you know, driving around Tveria. You know, he gets that aquacaf for a little bit, and then he's looking for something good to eat. And all of a sudden, he finds this very, very sweet fruit. What happens to be, Naftaliya Yalashlucha, Nosi Meshofer, the Gemara says that the sweetest fruit was produced in the area around the Kinneret. So he has a lot of this sweet fruit. And then the Gemara goes and tells you just how much does he have. Guys, Mamash downing it down. It's so sweet. It's so young. Mamash is like candy. It's just getting it. And then he realizes he gets like that, you know. I don't know if there's a Hebrew word or an English word that could describe. I think Mr. Basketball nishgitz. Do you know what I mean? Nishgitz doesn't mean good. It means nishgitz. It means nauseous. The mamash is he's got it. We got it. Your mother used to tell you that. My nishgitz, right? So it is nauseated. It's so sickening from the sweetness of the ooey yummy candies of this fruit. So he needs something to kind of, you know, counteract that. So what does he have? So Tais gives you a whole menu here. Then he went ahead, and so we started off with this yummy, yummy, delicious fruit. He had a little bit too much. He got very, very sick to his stomach and sweetness. So he's looking for some saltiness. So he grabs his herring, and now he's got a problem. You know what his problem is? Now he's very what? Oh, now he's very salty. So now he's going to take a piece of bread to offset. So the guy shouldn't have eaten in the first place. He would have just gone for a regular normal shawarma. He wouldn't have gotten himself into this problem. But he starts with the sweets, ends with the salty, ends with the bread. That's what the two that the Mishnah is describing. It's a very, very strange pshat. The Gemara is saying this is the episode of pshat. The Mishnah, what we're going to do, it's very strange. Is what ikka chos ben asef? What's missing in the Mishnah? Because the fruit is not even there. That's the punchline. It's about the fruit wasn't there. So Tosa says this presentation that the Gemara is giving now becomes very, very problematic, because the Mishnah is only presenting that the ikra and the tafel are the fish, the salty fish, and the bread. He asks Tosa, "V'im Taimar peiros am ikar u'miliach tafel v'lifichal peiros v'liftakulu." It sounds from the Mishnah that Avad is making a bracha. It says the Mishnah is making a bracha on the maliach. So birecha mevarech ala ikar, but that's not tefillah. The Mishnah says that you mevarech ala maliach. You make a bracha on the maliach. Frektai zakasha. Why are you making a bracha on the maliach for? Typically, that the maliach is also tefillah. That the whole goal of eating the maliach was just to offset the sweet candy fruit. Your real kavana was to have the sweet fruit. You're only having the herring because you can't stand the sweetness anymore. So this is vital din of ikar v'tafel. So what's the Mishnah? The Mishnah is trying to present you a scenario of ikar v'tafel. The scenario that the Mishnah presented is actually wrong. The facts are wrong. If this is the case, this is the illustration, the Gemara couldn't fathom anyone's just stop eating a lot of herring just for... Well, Meshuggah eats herring so much to get himself so salty. The Meshuggah only did it because he was so crazy that he had all the sweet fruit. So why doesn't the Mishnah say, Mevarech ala peiros, or pointas amalich, or pointas apas? So the peiros should be the ikar, and peiros somehow don't even appear in the Mishnah. That's Taisa's technical kasha. So Taisus gives you what seems to be very, very technical, technical hachamayaskina terutzim, but within the terutzim of Taisus develops a fundamental yusai. So comes Taisus and says that no, v'yeshlomu demayish lo'ochla peres b'eisei b'aymud. He didn't eat the fruit right then and there. He ate the fruit when he came out of Aquakef. Then he got into his car. He's halfway back to Kolel, and then he's plotting from the sweetness, where he runs to go get the saltiness. So says Tosfos, the sweet fruit that you had an hour and a half ago is not gonna. You can't apply the rule of Ikar v'tafel to knock off the maliach. Inami, b'shosh ocher peres kinais lo hesham adayin maliach upas to lav yadeh shechash liba machas amesikus. What Taisa says, you don't have to make it so dramatic that the guy's driving down south. Rather, what happened was, when he ate the fruit, he didn't realize it's going to be so sweet. He's going to get so sick to his stomach from the sweetness. So he didn't prepare the antidote beforehand. So when he ate the fruit, he eats a lot of fruit. And then he decides, you know what, I'm talking a little too sweet. So then he goes quickly, goes into one of the shtiblach and then Tveri to find some leftover herring from last Shabbos Shudas. And then afterwards, when he realizes the herring got him a little bit too salty, so he goes to one of the bakeries and picks up some from challah from last week, and he knocks off the whole thing. So the two terutzim of Taisus are not contradicting each other. They're not arguing with one another. The thrust of the two Taisus are pretty clear. They're just looking for hechatimtzes. They're looking for some of the intricate dinim of Hilchos Brachos where A is not going to pot to B. Either because A was a different maimon or A was without kavana, that's the reason why. But the common denominator, the terutzim were very obvious, that in order for ikar v'tafel to kick in, so the ikar has to be present, around, daita lekach, same maimon, same time frame, that kind of stuff, then and only then is the ikar going to pater the tafel. Ad kan divya tosis. So we already saw earlier this year, and remember back in the sugyas of Dvar Bamach Suda, who disagreed with this Taisus? Balmor, maybe Rashi, right? We saw some Rishonim who maybe disagreed with this Taisus. Maybe say it's not true. Maybe there is no such klal that ikar v'tafel requires that it has to be b'osei mayim, maybe b'osei kavana, that kind of stuff. What does that depend upon? So some of you may remember back to we spoke about this in the past, that there's a chazanish, right? We spoke about this back a few months ago. So the Chazon Ish raises a very, very famous chakira. Lomdish chakira in Uchas Brachas. We have a Mishnah, state in the Mishnah, that there's a din of ikar v'tafel. Okay, good, very nice. So says the Chazash Yesh Lachkor, one could raise a fundamental question, a fundamental chakira. What is the nature of this din that you make a bracha on the ikar and it patas the tofah? So you can understand this in one of two ways. Either you can understand that the bracha on the ikar relates to the tofel. It's not shaykh to have a food that doesn't have a bracha recited on it. Also, it's supposed to have a bracha. You can't put a piece of food or drink into your mouth without reciting a bracha. Bracha has to be teifes on that item. So usually, chazal mesaken that ha'etz relates to apples, and ha'gofen relates to wine, and ha'moitz relates to bread, and mezonos relates to cake. Every different kind of category of food has its own bracha. We spoke about this 100 times. The chazal wanted to institute brachas proteus. That's a great shevach to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So everything has to have its appropriate bracha. Now, true, there are sometimes you have brachas that are not quite the appropriate bracha, but b'diyeva they're the appropriate bracha. Now, we spoke about that, but shahakol and ha'adamah for ha'etzes, or maybe sometimes ha'etz for things that are not quite ha'etz, but they grow on trees anyway, magen avraham, even oz, there's a lot of things that we spoke about over the course of the year. Maybe mezonos, patas, a lot of things. Those possibilities of appropriate and quasi-appropriate, like chil appropriate, b'diyeva appropriate, we've seen those yisaydus. But sometimes you have a bracha, it doesn't make any sense. This bracha has nothing to do with the food that I'm eating. It's not the same item. You're right. But once I make a bracha on the ikar, that bracha takes hold, and it's besiaches to the tofel as well. Even though it's not something that per se should be besiaches to the tofel, chazal, that im tibzalayma, that it's to the tofel, it's tofel to the ikar, so the bracha to the ikar relates to the tofel. So did you recite a bracha in the tofel? Just answer that question. Did you put a piece of food into your mouth and a bracha? What's the answer? No. The bracha that you made was a bar of priya eitz on something that's not doesn't grow on a tree. That's right. The rabbi said it's okay. That the bracha the ikar, once the bracha migal, the bracha is chal, the ikar is chal the tofel as well. Or maybe bichlal, that's not right. Maybe we totally missed the boat. That's not what ikar tofel is. What ikar tofel is that the tofel is batel to the ikar to such an extent that it doesn't need a bracha. Not everything needs a bracha. You recite a bracha on foods that you eat, on foods that on batel and tofel, they lose their identity. They don't exist. They command the leisa. So that's okay. Those foods don't require a bracha. At the end of the day, I'm not making a bracha on the tofel. Whether you're zokta zoy, zokta doy, I'm not making a bracha on the tofel. But it's a very, very fine line, a lomda shechakira, as to what the nature of that din is. Is it that bracha on A is b'siachis to B, or is that that's in the parish of the sugi of ikvot tofel, it meets the criteria chazal kaveh of ikvot tofel. B doesn't require a bracha. So comes the chazanish and says he thinks of this tais as a raya to one of the two tzedakim. Says the chazanish, tais is talking the language that the birchas ha'ikar has to be misyaches to the tofel, and therefore tais is invoking imageries of ilchus brachas that we're familiar with. When can a bracha relate to something? Well, you need a few things. The food has to be there. So I would say in 3 hours from now I'm gonna have a cookie. So I'm gonna make a bracha now. I'm gonna burn my name is Zionist. Cookie's not here. We spoke about the Rambam. Remember the Rambam says if you didn't even pick it up, maybe hope it lost the other, right? But we spoke about this a little bit. I make a bracha on something that's machlamad and oisa maimud. Well, even if it is oisa maimud, I'm not planning on eating it. So we know that das plays a critical role in the chuz brachas. The Gemara says in Avim Tzochim that if a person makes a bar priya gofer and a cup of wine, if he's planning on drinking multiple cups of wine during the meal, so then the bar priya gofer will relate to all the cups. But if he wasn't planning on his nimloch, he only is planning on one drinking one cup. Let's say it's Purim, he follows the Ramah, he knows that, Adlo Yadif, Yosim, he usually drinks, so the most he ever drinks is 3 ounces on Yontif, so here he drinks 3.1 ounces. That was his plan. He had one cup of wine, that was it, Aldas to drink one cup of wine. And then if somebody comes in and starts telling him a hoshtikol Torah, no, he's really Adliyod actually means it. No, just in case, Allah Sofek. So he takes 2 more ounces of wine, maybe. So he has to make a new bracha, because when he made the first bracha, he didn't have in mind the second cup. That's nimloch. So then there is sukkis. What is nimloch? What's not nimloch? So we know that das plays a major role. We've seen this so many times that I can make a bracha, and I have in mind something, and then if I have a break in my das, if I have a eschadas, then that's going to trigger a new bracha. We saw all the sugyas. A guy benches, ein lecha heschadas gol lebizeh. A guy washes my macharonim with the heschadas. But havamina said, gom milechom is a heschadas. Havlon v'nivrach maybe is heschadas. Guess what? Maybe shini mokum is eschadas. Guy walks out. Is that called as that? Sugizim sochem. Sugiz shleimis that revolve around das. So we know that there are rules that govern uchus brachas when brachas can relate to subsequent foods. So Tosfos is searching in the sugiz vikim v'tofel, looking for how to plug in those rules. So Tosfos came up with a few examples. The food wasn't here. The das wasn't here. Yeah, mishmeren. Give me 15 different scenarios where there's some problem of my bracha being misyachesus to the latter food. So says the Chazdish, the Bali Atayis, they're talking the language of bracha being chal on the tofel. Why do I need a bracha to be chal on the tofel? The answer is because you need a bracha to be chal on the tofel. That's right, that's the answer. Says the Chazdish, because the tzal and the chakira that is correct, according to Tosfos, is that of course the bracha is chal on the tofel. It's the wrong bracha, okay, mishkefel, but a bracha has to be chal on the tofel. The bracha is equal to chal on the tofel. Any Rishon disagrees with Tosfos, maybe. Balamor, we spoke about this earlier, who can envision the concept of Ikev and Tofel even not in Tosfos scenario. The Balamor claimed that was good for the Shakmatai and the Gemara. Remember, we spoke about this earlier on. According to Balamor, that maybe you can have Ikev and Tofel without the rules that govern Uchus Brachas. Maybe the Balamor had the other understanding, that Ikev and Tofel doesn't mean that Bracha of A is Mesiaches to B. There's no such thing. How is a bird praised? Can it be misyaches to a piece of chicken? It's a different food, different bracha. So the Torah says it's not misyaches. It's just that the tofel loses its entity, becomes bottle to the ikar, and the mele, when it's bottle, you don't have to make a bracha on thin air. So you don't have to make a bracha on something that's bottle, something that's tofel, something that doesn't exist. It's almost ke'eina chakira. This is so far-fetched in terms of different area of halacha. But every time I see the sugya, and even tofel, hear about this chazinish, the following comes to mind. It's just an identical chakira in about as far away possible erev halacha as one can dream of. And that's in the realm of kinyanim. Now, there's halacha that if I want to be kind of karka, so I have to do kinyan X, Y, and Z. It's kesef, shtach, zaka, whatever it is. If I want to be kind of a taltalin, so there are sugyas, kesef, mishicha, there are rabbanim, yad, chatzah. There are sugyas of kinyanim, there's pashta kinyanim of karka, there's pashta kinyanim of metaltalin. Kinyani karka generally don't work for metaltalin, and kinyanim metaltalin generally don't work for karka. Once in a while, you have a kinyan that goes both ways. A kinyan chalipin, maybe kesef according to some. But there are many, many kinyanim that just don't work. Kinyan karka don't work for metaltan. Metaltan don't work for karka. Why that's so? That's another sugya, another time, another place. But those are the ABCs of kinyanim. Yeah, I didn't say anything. Yeah.
What's about more? Where do we draw?
Well, kinyanim, really. Yeah.
Where do we draw the line of different tafel based on that point? Do you just say like, oh, if you had one food one day, then
It's hard to believe. There got to be some kind of shaychas. I mean, it has to be realistically. That's how is tomorrow's food being tofel to today's food? He's got to be accomplishing the goal. So, according to Balamor, I had the herring now, and then I'm plotzing in 20 minutes from now to have a piece of challah. So I take the piece of challah, but the whole goal of the challah is to wash down the saltiness. The Balamor would conceive of that as a tofel. Tais would say that's not going to work. So there is one exception to this rule. The Mishnah tells us in Kiddushin that I can make a kinyan on karka and be kind of a tatler also. It's wild. I do a shtar. I do a chazocha. Those kinyanim don't speak to the tatler b'chlal. It's kind of, how's it kind of? What does the Mishnah say?
Kinyan
agav. How do you know that? It's a posuk and where? Anyone know? Fesh basuk and divrei yom. Basuk and divrei yom. Vayitin lem aviyam kas v'zav im ori v'tzuish v'huda. The Pasuk describes a whole Maisa Kinyan with Kinyana, with buying cities, with giving gifts, a whole Chagad of Kinyan Aga. Tais has two opinions whether the Gemara meant this was a real Kinyan Deraisa. The Pasuk is just a Psasmach, that's Halach Moshe Messina Kinyan Aga. Or maybe Chazal made the whole thing up, Lach Stach and Barak Kinyan Aga. So we're not sure exactly whether Kinyan Aga is Deraisa there, but we know it exists. The Mishnah, Fair Shemishnah, Sugi Shlevis and Shas of Kinyan Aga. There's a very, very long Mishnah Chakir in Kinyan Aga. How do you understand this din is some mod the din. I make a kinyan on karka, it works for metaltlin. But I can't make a shtak, I can't make a chazok on metaltlin. How does that work? So some suggest that maybe, you're right, that normally a kinyan karka is not misyaches to metaltlin, but if it's misyaches to the karka, so kach tiknu, or kach kazratoy, whatever it is, the kinyan that would otherwise not be effective swallows up the metaltlin also. How did the metaltlin change ownership? They need a kinyan. Are you talking? Nothing changes ownership without some kind of a kinyan. So the kinyan karka that's usually not acceptable here, b'chiyah gavna, when it's at the same time, it's simultaneous with the karka, the kinyan is misyachis in metaltan, the kinyan works for metaltan. Or maybe that's not the pshat altogether. Maybe the pshat is that when you have karka and metaltan together, the metaltan are what? They're bottled to the karka. The secondary, what there's a reason why land is called real estate, because it's the only real estate. It's the only thing that's really around. But Tafelin, you have a fancy car, so you smash the car up, it's gone. Karka, it's ill. It's all about madness. You're always going to have the land. So in the realm of the economy, well, who has inside Sims? Good. Okay, great. Am I right what I'm saying? So karka. So Tafelin is bottle, it's Tafel. It's like when you have I'm selling you a house and a car, so the house is like the French fries and the car is like the ketchup. It means it's bottled to the French fries to normal people. So it's bottled, the car is bottled to the house as well. So when you have an item that's bottled, it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, you don't need a kinyan. You don't need a kinyan on chafotzim that exists. Once the chafetz ceases to exist in the world of Dinim Amunis, I mean, the car's still there, you can still drive it, but Api did, and Dinim Amunis, it doesn't exist anymore because it's bottled to the karka. So I'm still not asking for the legal dimension of this. I'll call in a second. So this chakira about how to understand kinyan agav is almost the identical kind of a chakira. Again, these are heirs of halacha that are about as far away from possible as they could be, but it's a similar idea that you have two items that are joining together, and you're doing something on one item that's somehow affecting the second item, even though what you're doing to item number one would never impact that item number two. If item number two is one in its own, it's in its own entity. Once it becomes part of item number one, so do we view as the bracha is chal on both, the kidney is chal on both, or do we say, I don't need a bracha because it's bottle, I don't need a kidney because it's bottle? So it's a similar kind of a chakira, although obviously not identical. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm eating a bowl of Wheaties and milk, and I'm going to make up the zonos on the Wheaties and no bracha on the milk.
Good.
All right. My first spoonful after I made the mizonos, do I have to have a weedy in the spoon, or is it just enough that I have the milk?
Well, we'll talk about it in a second. About the Ramah, about to eat the tofu before the hikar. It's coming around the bend. Okay, coming around the bend. That's Shaila. So, even though we think that ikar tofu is like this klal gadol, the Mishnah says zek klal. That culture you wrote to the it's such an unbelievable, all-encompassing cloud. In the Gemara itself, it's very, very limited. This is like the only case we have in the Gemara explicitly. This crazy sugar and a guy with the fruit and the herring and the challah. That's the case par excellence. The example that the Mishnah and the Gemara are giving is not even an example of the two foods actually eaten together. The example that the Mishnah and the Gemara are giving, or they're actually eating at separate times, what makes an ikar v'tofel? How do you define why is something tofel? What characteristic makes that the bread is tofel?
The reason you're
eating the bread. I don't want to eat the bread. I did not want to eat bread today. I woke up in the morning, the last day I wanted was 100 calories from bread. I don't want to eat bread. I don't like the bread. It doesn't taste good. I don't want bread. I'm eating it for one reason alone, to be mevato the tam, masikos, maliach, whatever I'm being mevato for. That is the goal of my eating. That is the ikar v'tofel of the Mishnah. Since the goal of my eating, this tofel, is not an independent goal, it can lose its status of requiring its own brach, whatever the lumbus of the chakir is. But there's no mention in the Gemara that it has to be simultaneous. It's actually not. I finished the besikros and the maliach, and I eat the bread 5 minutes later. But I say maimed, but kabana, whatever the taisa shtibotai was. So too, one could envision that you can have ikar v'tofel, even though it's not simultaneous, in the other direction. Namely, if I eat the tofel first, and then eat the ikar. In the case of the Mishnah, that happens not to be the case. But in theory, that could be a case. You could have a situation where I really, really want to eat the following. My goal is to have the following. But I know in advance that if I eat that food, it's going to have a little bit of negative repercussions on my taste buds. So, but I really want that food. That's my goal. I want the sweetness, but so I jumpstart a little bit before I have food B, which is my real food. I take a little bit of food A, but the goal of food A, I'm really not interested in eating it. It's tofel. So lechora, that should also be ikar v'tofel. There's no reason why that shouldn't meet the criteria of ikar v'tofel. Because again, if you're going to tell me that ikar v'tofel requires that it be simultaneous, it's got to be the itna. Okay, then there's not ikar v'tofel. But the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Farish, there is no such requirement. So mali, whether you eat the ikar first, mali, whether you eat the tofel first. Lechora, that's what I would have said the din should be. So come a group of Rishonim and say, in theory, that's right. That should meet the criteria of Ikar V'Tafel. We have a problem. What the problem is? How in the world are you, as a Torah observant Jew, going to put a piece of food into your mouth and swallow it and not make a bracha? How are you talking to work? It's impossible. That should happen. It can't be. So somebody showed him a bond with that kasha. That's like behind this kasha. They stare at the beginning. They remembered we learned Kate's Mavrachid back in September. Also, it's not shayach. Any Rishon who's bothered with that kasha, what side of the Chakir was he looking at? He's obviously looking that Tofel needs a bracha. There is no halacha that Tofel. Who ever heard of food not requiring a bracha? It's just as a shtickle Torah, the Chazal Meshakin, that the bracha Niko is Meshakin to the Tofel. So that's what the Rishon was saying. That's true if you already made the bracha. So if the order of things is, if the timeline is, you eat the ikah first, like in the Mishnah, the Gemara with the Maliach, you ate the food, so then the bracha was already registered, so the bracha is misyachis, the foods, that's not really appropriate to, that we can be mekabel. That we know part of that, we can swallow that. But to eat a tofel first and say, you know, problem, I'm good to go. You're good to go based on what? Because you're going to make a bracha in 5 minutes from now. Right now. Bashehu sham. Right now, you just swallowed a piece of food without a bracha. Maybe Siachis do it. And that's a problem. So any Rishon who is posing this challenge, who's about to tamper with the rules of Ikar V'Tofel, is obviously looking at Ikar V'Tofel through a certain lens. If you look at Ikar V'Tofel through the other lens, against Tais, against the Chazanish, if you look maybe like the Balamor, that Ikar V'Tofel means whenever you have a relationship with Ikar V'Tofel, guess what? The Tofel is Kiman D'Leis. The Tofel doesn't exist. So why is it so impossible to view Ikar V'Tofel? Might have to be what I eat first. At the end of the day, the reason why I'm eating food A is for a tuffeltika reason, so it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, there's no bracha. I'm allowed to do the following. I'm allowed to eat thin air. I don't have to make a bracha, but eat thin air. Api did this thin air. It doesn't exist. It's kamandalais. It's bottled to the ikar. So the chayru, the rishonim who are opposing the challenge, are also weighing in on this shayla.
I think you say one of these rishonim, no matter which side in the fakir you take, at the end of the day, if there's an Israeli hanos, so it's Kiman D'Lesa that you don't necessarily shouldn't have to make a bracha, but everyone would agree that you're for sure getting hana.
No, because you are looking at the world too physically. You got to like take yourself out of the physical realm and say, Apidin, that's a Nishkan Hana. You know why? It's like the car. The car doesn't exist. What do you mean? I'm driving it. It doesn't exist. It's bottled to the car. It doesn't exist.
If a person would have a kezias of bread, and that's not enough necessarily to fill him up, but or a kveitz or whatever it was, and then he had a ton of other food, which would now the shir tzirik would get him to a point of like soveya. We would say that he's chayv to bench midoraisa, because at the end of the day, like, there is enough content there that.
I mean, that statement is probably true, what you said. Not everyone agrees to it, but it's most probably true. But I'm not sure it's a kasha. I'm not sure it's a right.
So, on a similar point.
To the point, I had such a chamonos on him. I didn't blow him out of the water. And you want to join this sinking ship? Yeah, sure.
These are showing we're adding a din of the mafreya. I doubt the din of the mafreya would be included in the hero, no?
I would say that it's hard to, you know, the mafrei is great, like, you know, when you bring a kashadish or something, you know, those kinds of things work. But, like, you're making brachas to mafrei. I mean, right now I'm enjoying my pizza. I'll worry about the bracha later, and I'll say the bracha, I'm an ask, it's hard to.
In the case of the Rishonim, that if I'm having wine, but I know I'm going to have, not on purpose.
Yeah. You're having iced tea, you're having Snapple, okay. And you know you're about to have some cherry pits or something. That's the right, so the world that Rishonim described.
If I have the puffo thing first, and then after 5 minutes, I decided
I don't want the acre anymore, then I wouldn't be inclined to make a bracha. Maybe. I don't know. Never tried that. I don't know. So let's take the Rishonim's word for it, that there is a rule of Ikar V'Tofel that we're having some trouble plugging in the details of Ikar V'Tofel right now. Yeah.
Let's just say you do hold. You make a bracha on the tofu when you're eating the tofu first. What bracha will you make?
That's what we get to. That's exactly what we get to. Hold on. Assuming there's a bracha. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not even sure there's going to be a bracha altogether. But assuming there's such a bracha. So, So comes the Beis Yosef and quotes a whole story from the Tshuva Sadeshen. Everyone knows Tshuva Sadeshen. Tshuva Sadeshen was the end of the Tkufas HaRishonim, very, very end. And he was a Rav in Germany. And he wrote a whole, he wrote Piskei Halacha. Also, he wrote a lot of Shaul Tshuvas. He had some of the greatest Shaul Tshuvas. Why? Because he made them up. Because he had a Shtiru Toys he wanted to say. So then he just wrote, like, as if somebody's writing him a Shaila. So Gvaldik, he's always got exciting stuff. So the Tshuva Sadeshen has this whole wild story about Kosma Tshuva Sadeshen ala roitza lishtas, the third Bible Kosma, roitza lishtas yayin, the kashla lishtas aliba rekona. So he wants to have a cup of wine. That's his goal right now. The only thing he is to have a wine on an empty stomach, you know. So give him a little stomachache. So he has a little, takes a little date, takes a little something before he has the cup of wine, you know. But his goal is not really the food; he really just wants the cup of wine. The Afkav lechayrin tzachle brach leMichael. Lechori shouldn't make a brach on the Michael, because what's the difference between the guy who's eating the bread at the end to wash down the saltiness, the guy's having the bread at the beginning to prevent the sweetness of the wine? So it's a Tshuva Sadeshen who gets this ball rolling. And then he says almost the identical thing. He quotes some Tshuvas Ozerua. It's actually the son of the Ozerua. Marach Ozerua, Rabbi Chaim Ozerua was the son of the Ozerua. So he quotes a similar kind of thing. Guy's eating these Garina Gudonios, some cherry pits or something, some kind of a berries pits, whatever they are. The Masak Ashtia. So Mehocha Ma'ash, but the real Dina Nami, Vracha Michael Shahako. So Tshuva Sadeshen puts together his feeling on the matter, together with the Marach HaZeruah, and he comes up with two theories about this funny kind of a tofel pre-ikar. No gemar about it. He thinks that to say that you're making no bracha whatsoever doesn't sit well with him. So the other side of Chir doesn't seem right. You got to do something. You can't ignore making a bracha. On the other hand, it's a davar tofel. It's not really what he wants to do here. And therefore, catch this one. Rather than reciting the regular bracha, what does he recite? The default bracha. He recites the bracha Shahakol Yevin Baruch. Shahakol? Where did that come from? So this is like reminiscent of what? Well, we've seen this yourself time and time again, that Shahakol is the Kolis Dikah Bracha. It's the default bracha. When you really don't have to make a bracha, except for one small technicality. What's the small technicality? Also, Asperazebli Bracha. There's no way we're going to let you put food into your mouth without making a bracha. Even though based on our intuition of his brachas, there's a really good reason that you shouldn't have to make brachas altogether. Where do we see this? Who remembers? How many times did we see this over and over again? We saw this by refuah, going to somebody showing if you have something with refuah. Remember the shtisa? Remember the Gemara said that? Who remembers? The Chazara. The Gemara said if you mix the flour with the water, that pasty kind of a food. So if you have like the very, very thick kind of shtisa, then you make mezonos. If you have a thinner kind of shtisa, then you make shaka. Why is that? So we had a machlekes Mishum. Some Mishum said because Tosha said because drinks you always make shachar, you don't make mezonos on drinks. And other Rishonim said that no, it has nothing to do with drinks. That's to do with what? When you make it as a thick paste, that's food, that's oatmeal, that's breakfast. When you make it a thin, that's more of a medicine kind of a thing. Medicines, if the medicine tastes miserable, there's no bracha, there's no hanor. But if the medicine tastes good, we can't really get away with making no bracha. On the other hand, you can make a bourbon of mezonos. You make a bourbon of eitz on medicine. That's not choshev enough to make a real bracha on. But asli hanos, we're in a pickle because asli hanos is a bracha. So therefore, when you find yourself in this predicament of bracha, is that you can't make what we would like you to make. But on the other hand, you can't get away with nothing. Shahakol comes to the rescue. So where else do we see this? Where else did we find this? What? Oh, okay. We're possibly, we had the Rambam. Who remembers the Rambam by the Shemin Zayas, right? The Gemara says, Azuki Azikleg, so it's Machlekes Rashi. And the Rambam, Rashi says, you don't make a bracha on Shemin Zayas Bechlal, because it's not called Achila. And the Rambam says, of course you make a bracha. You make Shahakal. What do you make Shahakal? So we said, because we gave all kind of razzle dazzle stricoteiras, it's Shalaki Derech Achila, and therefore, because brachas doesn't really apply, and the other end, so also lasts the Pli Bracha. It's a Berech Sanoa, Berech Sanoa. We talked about this a lot earlier in the year. We saw.
The
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, we mentioned right in passing also. Shlokas. I mean, when things have changed a little bit. Okay, maybe. Okay, I'm not sure it's the same you saw, but maybe. So we've seen this time and time again. We even saw a possibility, maybe, if a person eats less of the kezias. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
That maybe you could argue that you don't make the regular bracha, maybe a shahakol. Somebody said that. We saw it by Berner Fashas, we saw it. By shahakol, we didn't see it, right? By Berner Fashas, we saw it, right? The Rush quote, the Tais of the Rush quoted by Berner Fashas. The Berner Fashas somehow could be settled less than a kazai. So it was that kind of an idea also. So that seems to be what the Truman Sadesh is pushing here as well. That we're in a predicament here. It's really a kibbutofel, but come on, Rabbi. So many Acharenim, right, they never heard of such a thing. That's not what the Marachos are meant. The whole thing's learned by Miel and Magen Avraham. Other Acharenim say, there's no such klal. The klal, no such klal. The first klal of the Tribunal may be right, that you have to make a bracha. You can't put a food to your mouth if it's not covered by a bracha. So yeah, you have to make a bracha. What bracha do you make? You make the bracha, whatever the bracha is. So up until now, the type of Ikav Tov that we've been discussing is Ka'ain, the case of the Gemara, where it is clear that I really truly want A, I absolutely don't want B. My only goal for B is to enhance A, or to prevent damage from A. But A and B don't have to be simultaneous. There's no rule whatsoever. The case of the Mishnah, it's not simultaneous. No rule, they have to have them together. But the only tsura that we have, Ikav Tov, is when I have absolutely zero desire objectively to eat A.
When the Magen Avraham or the post Gemara that said that you did not make a bracha on the tafel also, is that assuming that it's the same bracha as the picker?
So that's the shot. That's the Magen Avraham tries to be mechalik, depending on whether it's the same bracha, not the same bracha. Yeah. That may make a difference. So do we have any precedent in halacha for ikav tafel that doesn't meet the criteria of the Mishnah? It's not that I really absolutely be sure, but I don't want to eat A. I actually do want to eat A. I want to eat A, and I want to eat B. The only thing is, what makes an ikav tafel is that the goal of eating A is to enhance B. That's a different kind of ikav tafel. That's a different set of criteria legamri. So, in the first case, the classic case, the prototype, the model of ikav tafel, I really don't want to eat A. It's there for pure, to remove negativity of eating B. There's no negativity of B. B is a wonderful food. But I want A, makes it a little bit yummy, a little bit tastier. That's the goal. Is that also called Ikav Tofel? Unclear. So Tosfos calls it that. Where did Tosfos call that? Tosfos calls it that back in, on the Sugya Daf Lamed Aleph Beis. Chazza for a second. Who remembers? Amar Papa Hilchasa. It's been a long time. No? We've been going straight since the middle of January over here. What did Rav Papa say? Hilchasa, Dvar Maboyim, Machas Zuru B'Sech HaSuda, Eidim B'Vach Lefneim, Eidim Zuru B'Vach Lefneim, V'lo Lechrem, right? Dvar Maboyim, Machas Zuru B'Sech HaSuda. What were those items of Dvar Maboyim, Machas Zuru B'Sech HaSuda? What were they? What did Rashi say? The lives of past. Rashi said, a piece of filter fish on a challah roll. Some tuna fish, some lox in your bagel. Those are Dvar Maboyim, the lives of past. So Rashi, that's the Dvar Maboyim, Machas HaSuda that Rav Papa was talking about. Taisus jumped on Rashi's. That's Rav Papa. I need Rav Papa as a late Amor. He's a Talmud of Rav. 200 years after the mission is completed, I need Rav Papa to tell me good morning that you don't make a bracha in your lox and bagel. You only make a bracha in the bagel, not in the lox. He says, it's Chamishta. Advar Maboy Machas Asuta. Ikva Tofel. Ikva Tofel going to be there. Taisus called that Ikva Tofel. That's it. You don't want to eat the lox? You make your bracha ha-moitzi on the bagel, and you have no interest in eating the lox. That's not the ikav tafel of the Mishnah. You got tofel dishes. I don't want to eat the bread. I'm eating it because nevach, I got sweet and salty taste getting trying to get rid of it in my mouth. Here, you want bread, and you want lox. Haraya, you went to the bris. First, you went to the bagel station. Then you walked over to the lox station. Then you went, if you were a fancy bris, you went to the omelet station, depending on which communities you live in. So a lot. Then you saw the train riding around the bris table. A lot of exciting things. Then you got your croissants, which may or may not be kosher. You had a lot of things going on. Then you got little blue and white, you must put cookies, you know, whatever. You got a lot of things going on. So I said, you eating bagels and lox, you really only want one. I'll give you a raya brew shema chuva. When you make you put a bagel and lox together, you definitely want the lox also. No shada. I think a raya brew from lunch today. I couldn't have planned it better than today. So I had a bris in my shul on Tuesday. So I made I took some bagel on a bagel with lox. I put a lox on one of the rolls or something. So I took one for me for breakfast, lunch. So I made an extra one for Abu Zeb. So in the end, I didn't realize Abu Zeb had already made himself a bagel. So I ended up with an extra one for lunch. I don't know, two bagels. Bagels for one was in a bagel, one was on a roll. So I didn't need it, so I just stuffed it into the fridge in my office and showed. I figured I'll deal with it at some. That was Tuesday. I'll deal with some poor people down Pesach. I'll figure out what to do with this extra roll and lox. So it was today. I opened up my lunch. My wife gave me lunch, and it was a sandwich. It was just a cream cheese sandwich. I'm not complaining. I've been eating cream cheese sandwiches for 30 years. I moved to the cream cheese sandwich. So no big deal. So I had my roll of bread, whatever, bake, whatever it was, the cream cheese. All of a sudden, that was what I remember. There's lox sitting on an old stale bagel from 2 days ago sitting in the fridge. So I opened up the fridge. I didn't really want the roll looked like it seemed a better day for 48 hours sitting in the fridge. But the lox looked pretty good. So what did I do? Took the lox, put it on. I made myself a bris. They'll say taco today. I'm saying, I'll make a bris for lunch. So obviously, when I made that sandwich, I wanted the bread and I wanted the lox. So how could Tosfos call it ikka v'tofel? What's the answer? It's a different kind of ikka v'tofel. It's a mechushik ikka v'tofel. Tosfos is learning that you can meet the criteria of ikka v'tofel not just if A is absolutely not interested in, but it's serving B. You can have ikka v'tofel, even though I really want both, but one is coming to enhance the other. So let's say over here for lunch. My ikka kavana when I eat lunch is I want to have some bread. I want to have a roll. I'm hungry. A piece of strip of lox is not gonna make me full. I'm gonna be tired when I say shia. I'm hungry. I have to go downstairs to Nagel's Bagels by myself. 16 cookies later if I get hungry. So I want to have a good bagel for lunch. Eloah, a dry bagel with nothing on it, a little cream cheese on it, doesn't taste so good. So you throw a piece of lox on it, gives a little bit of a kick. But my ikka kavana is to eat the bagel. So Tosfos says that's also called ikka v'tofel. So from Tosfos' kash against Rashi, Tosfos was forced to say that Rav Papa is talking about potato kugels and chulens and other things, but from Tosfos' kash against Rashi Zeman, there's another category of ikka v'tofel on the table that we never heard of. And we assume this is also true. This is also correct. This is also called the ikka v'tofel. So we're two for two. We have two different types of ikka v'tofel here. However, even in Tosfos' case, the ikka v'tofel, it's true that it's not quite the extreme of the Mishnah's case, but it's similar in the sense of there is an ikka kavana sechila and a tofel ikka kavana sechila. My primary goal is to eat a bagel. My secondary goal is to eat lox. I want to eat the lox, but it's still secondary goal. Can we stretch the limits? How much can we stretch the envelope for? Well, I think pops. Can we stretch the limits of ikka v'tofel to include a possible third scenario? What if I have two foods and I'm eating them together? Because somehow, once I'm out of the Mishnah's realm of ikka v'tofel, Tosfos says it has to be together. We're assuming now lafas apas, it's got to be together. So what I'm lacking in kavanas, I make up in simultaneous, but it's a one stretch past Tosfos. There's one nuance of the Chiddush past Tosfos. Unlike Tosfos' case, where, yes, I'm happy that I'm eating lox in the end, but I didn't sit down to have lox. It was a clearly secondary goal. What if I have two foods on the table, same plate, I'm eating them simultaneously, so Without simultaneously, it's not going to work. I'm eating them simultaneously. But I want both of them. I want A and I want B. And I cannot say that I want B to serve A in any shape or form. I want A and I want B. And sometimes I would sit down and eat. I would eat A alone. I would eat B alone. There is no primary or secondary intent in my achilas. Can we even begin to discuss ikivitafel? What criteria would you use? How would you even measure? How would you gauge whether something is ikivitafel? The case of the Mishnah, this is so far from the Mishnah, this is already a third category. This is like a third cousin already of the ikivitafel of the Mishnah. Ikivitafel in the Mishnah, so I don't want to eat B b'chlal. Ikivitafel of Taisus, I want to eat B to help me with A. Over here, I want to eat B. And I want to eat A. So make two brachas. So first of all, ikivitafel.
Is this not in the concept of kedimah sarachas we saw earlier?
Of what?
Of kedimah sarachas.
This is not kedimah brachas. They're different foods. Kedimah brachas is I'm going to make an eitz on apple on grapes that's going to pop to the apples. Here, I have two different foods. I'm going to make a eitz on something, and the other food is a shakal. So how's that going to help me? That's not going to help me. So the only thing that's going to help me to get out of making that second bracha, I have to somehow plug this into the parasha of ikivitafel. How am I going to do that? This is not the Mishnah. This is not Tosfos. So what possible criteria could be used? How would we measure this? I have two foods. I want to eat both of the foods together. And I'm going to make one of the Zayis and Snow. Do you make two brachas? I want to figure out an Eitz. I have two foods. I'm going to take them both together. And I'm going to make a bracha on one, not on the other, even though I want both foods. What other possible criteria could be used? So all of a sudden, we think we're linear there. And we go back to Bash Mishpat. We know that there's a principle in halacha called Rov. Now, we have spoken about Rov many, many times throughout the years. This year we spoke about it a little bit. Rov has so many different manifestations. But one of the manifestations of Rov is the concept of Bittel B'Rov. You can have things that are mixed together. We're going to hopefully fine-tune this probably a little bit more on Sunday. Fine-tune what exactly constitutes the scenario that Rov is appropriate. I'm going to plug in a new parasha called Rov, and I'm going to say that, yes, I have two foods on the table. They're together. And yes, I really want to eat both. And yes, I independently want to eat both. One is not serving the other. And I'm willing to discuss, negotiate the parasha of the sugya of Yitavel if one of the foods is a Rov. So do we have a precedent for that explicitly in halacha? In the Gemara, it's going to be very, very hard to find. But do we have any precedent anywhere that application of ikivitafel when it's a question of Rov versus Miut? And then assuming that's true, how do you fine-tune the details of Rov? Rov is a very, very complicated sugya in Yerodea. There are a lot of rules in Yerodea that govern what is Rov. It's not Rov. Do some of those didn't carry over? Not carry over. How literal do we take the word Rov in Paskei Abishad or Chaim and Uchaz Brachas? So we have a lot of work to do. The problem with this part of the sugya now is that we have left the Gemara. That's when we close the Gemara. We didn't even open the Gemara today. We close the Gemara because this third case doesn't appear. I'll tell you a secret. The second case also didn't appear. But at least the second case appeared on the page in Tosfos. The third case we're searching in the dark for. So we have to figure out, is this true? Do we have a mokor for this? And in terms of that it's true, what are going to be some of the guidelines to how to apply this principle properly?
Is there a difference between ikivitafel by masking in a food versus food in a food?
We don't find any difference. I mean, again, it's very hard to know what we find because in the entire Shas, we only find one case of ikivitafel, the case of the Mishnah, which the Gemara says isn't even real what the case is, you know, throwing the fruit. So we have a lot of work cut out for us to fine-tune some of the details, okay? Russ, I think we'll get a little chumash, a little warmer chumash there, a little machshava. Yeah.
Can we talk about, like, for a medina,